Welcome to episode 41 of the Midlife Worthy Moms podcast for the Graceful Empty Nester. How many of us get fixated or hyper-focused on the perfect family, having the perfect family, comparing ourselves to the perfect family? Somewhere between our expectations of what we think a perfect family would look like and the Joneses next door, there's a little bit of truth. Today, we're going to unravel our own perfectionist tendencies. Are you a mom who's been taken by surprise and finds herself struggling with her adult child? Well, it's time to grab a pen and notebook because I'm about to share some insider information that will help you navigate through this challenging phase. I'm Kim Damon, a mom, a life coach, and an Enneagram coach. I specialize in helping moms of adults in rediscovering the connection with their adult kids. Just imagine mom stepping into a state of drama remission with your adult children. Together, we'll build a life grounded in grace and the peace that comes from truly knowing who you are as a midlife woman and a mom. Make sure you visit my website. The link is provided in the show notes. And grab your free course, Thriving in a Divided Family. It's packed with valuable insights. What is perfectionism, anyway? What is it like to be a perfectionist? I looked that up in the Webster Dictionary. I'll just read this to you. It says doctrine that the perfection of moral character constitutes a person's highest good. So you think you're a good person when you are a perfectionist. You think by doing things perfectly and carefully that you're a good person. Could you be good anyway? It's also a disposition to regard anything short of perfection as unacceptable. Or what I think the Webster Dictionary is trying to tell us here is that sometimes we get so fixated on something being perfect that we don't let it go. We don't let the world see it. We don't let others see it until it is perfect. And so if you think about this in terms of a personality, we can hold back our true selves because we're afraid that it's short of this perfection somehow. And therefore, we never really reveal what our true needs and desires are to another person. Let me just dive in just a little bit further. There's this great program out there called OneLook, and you can type in a word and it gives you a thesaurus
of all the words that you can use in place of the word perfectionism, meaning the same thing.
And I found this so fascinating. Because let me share some of the words that came up. Obsessiveness, compulsiveness, laziness, overplanning, selfishness, egotism, inflexible, legalism, busyness, distractibility, neatness, flawlessness, indecisiveness, mediocre, procrastination, workaholism. Really fascinating. Okay. Some of these words, like, we don't think of when we think about being a perfectionist. We don't think about laziness as being perfectionism, but it can translate into that. It can mean the very same thing depending on what kind of perfectionism you have. Is it holding you back from even doing anything? Can other people perceive that? Maybe is laziness? It's just an example of the different words that are associated with perfectionism. And now that I've laid that foundation work here, I want to tell you that it is so normal for us to want to be perfect, want to be perfect parents, want to have a perfect family, especially the baby boomers and the Gen X. I mean, we've grown up that getting a perfect grade is what we strive for. When we were in school, it wasn't enough just to pass in most cases. It wasn't enough to bring home a B or a C. No, we wanted to get an A
or our parents wanted us to get an A. They encouraged us to study. They encouraged us to try harder. They encouraged us to do better the next time so that we could get an A plus. So, of course, many of us have issues with wanting perfectionism in our lives, some more than others. We associate perfectionism with this moral high ground. But what if you could have the moral high ground and not be perfect at it? That perfectionist person just has high standards for themselves and other people, but this creates issues in relationships, even relationships with yourself. You have this strong sense of what's right and what's wrong, and there can be a lot of energy around that and a lot of energy in our relationships, leaving other people feeling like they missed the mark with you. We can also indulge in perfectionism. It's like we can't let go of our own mistakes. In fact, a true perfectionist will probably hide their mistakes because they've already recognized that they've made one, and they take action to actually fix their own problems before anyone else discovers it. So let's talk about all the signs of perfectionism so you can learn how to recognize them. And as I go through these 12 signs, it might be a good idea if you just rated yourself anywhere from a 1, don't have it at all, to a 10, I definitely have it and I don't like it, and see where you land on your perfectionism tendencies. So number 1, you feel the pressure to live up to or have high expectations of your family and what it should look like. Number 2, maybe there's this exaggerated negative reaction to mistakes or a fear that you're failing at something. Have you ever felt like you thought you were overreacting to the situation? You became very emotional, had this really negative reaction to a mistake that you've made, or a mistake even that your children make? Number 3, higher level of self-doubt and insecurity. Because when we're perfectionist, we have a lot of doubt. We have this inner chatter that goes on in our minds. We have a lot of insecurity about what it means to fail. Number 4, personalization of mistakes and failures, ruminating on those failures, ruminating on all the mistakes that you've made. Number 5, maybe a rigid black and white thinking patterns. We've talked about this in another episode where it's either this or it's this. There's no gray area. And so if you are a very black and white person, you might be a perfectionist. Or even if you have black and white thinking ideas or patterns about certain subjects, you might just lean towards that perfectionism. You don't have to be a perfectionist all the time. You can be a perfectionist in certain areas of your life. Number 6, your self-worth and self-esteem is contingent upon the success that you have in your family. This is where we come up with we don't feel worthy when our family feels like it's fallen apart, or when something terrible is wrong with our relationship with our kids or our spouse. When our self-esteem is hanging on the fact that we're having trouble with our children, or that we're having trouble with someone that's special in our lives. Number 7, because you have high standards for yourself and for others. Sometimes we can argue that this is a good thing, and I'm not saying that it's bad, because I think that we should have high standards for ourselves. That's my own personal opinion. But sometimes we have such high standards for ourselves that no one could possibly achieve them. In fact, it can keep us crippled. When we have those high standards for ourselves, we also have high standards for other people. And they know this. Even if we don't verbalize that, they see the pressure that we put on ourselves. And they know deep down inside we have this same expectations of them. Number 8, you don't see the value in the journey of life. Like, you just want to get from point A to Z. You don't care about the trip in between. You don't care about the highs and lows. You just want to be there. You just want that family to look a certain way. But noticing the value in that journey that you take to get there is beyond measurable. This is how we learn how to cope. This is how we learn how to persevere. This is how we learn that journey that we need to take in our relationships. Because today it could be our children, tomorrow it could be someone else. Number 9, you won't celebrate your wins along the way. I see this in a lot of perfectionists. I'm not going to celebrate until things are done. And then the celebration still is really short. If you're a true perfectionist, it's like, yep, that's done, that's great, now what's next? That's how a perfectionist works. They're driven by being accomplished. They're driven by doing things the right way, but they don't take the time to celebrate those small wins along the way. Number 10 sign that you might be a perfectionist is that you procrastinate. And I know that this sounds like kind of an oxymoron. I mean, you want it to be perfect, so you procrastinate. That really doesn't make a lot of sense, but it does, my friend, because we're so wrapped up in it looking perfect that we don't even want to begin. We don't even want to try. We don't even know what our first step is. We tell ourselves, I don't know how to get there quickly, so I'm not going to even begin. I'm not even going to start. And again, going back to, you don't see the value in your journey, it's possible that you're procrastinating because you haven't practiced seeing the value in the journey of getting from point A to Z. And when you want that perfect family and you don't have it, and you want that perfect relationship with your child and with your grandchildren, you don't even want to try to have it because you're so afraid to fail. Number 11, you fail to even start anything if you can't complete it 100%. Now, I noticed in myself, I don't like to play games unless I can win. So this is a little bit of number 10 and a little bit of 11. Like, I don't even want to start something unless I can complete it 100%. And we see this happen time and time again. It's like we're not making any progress. We have to notice that we're not even starting. We're not even initiating conversation. We're not even willing to put ourselves out there to have the relationship, to say the words, to open up the door, to have the conversations, to write the letter that we need to write, to apologize that we need to apologize, because we're afraid that it's not going to matter. We're afraid of the failure. And number 12, my last one, I have to mention this. This is a sign you're a perfectionist. When you are in school, if a B minus causes you extreme anxiousness, you're probably suffering from perfectionism. Now, for me, when I was a child, my parents were just happy if I passed a grade at some point. I mean, there was just a few year period where that was an issue because I was rebellious, yes. But as an adult, and I went back to school, and I went to an accounting school, it just seemed like there was nothing short of an A that made me feel good. So how did I go from just living life and having fun and having a good time, not caring what my grades were, to being a young adult going back to school and a B minus is no longer okay? In fact, a B plus wasn't even okay for me. I wanted to see an A on my paper. And I was pretty hard on myself when I didn't get an A on my paper. If you take a look at all 12 of those signs and you rate them, are you a perfectionist? Or are you someone who is not bothered by that? It doesn't enter into your relationships. Where are you at on that perfectionism scale? Is perfectionism the real problem in our relationships? Does perfectionism actually imply that you really have high standards for yourself? Or is being a perfectionist just making you feel like you're somehow virtuous? When can perfectionism cause us problems? Well, it impacts our mental health. And I'll share with you why I believe that that's the case. When you're a true perfectionist, you can have a lot of anxiety. You can also get burned out very quickly. And when that happens, depression sets in. Or even self-esteem issues like, I can't do this. I'm not as good as I thought I was. This can be with a job. This can be with a relationship. This can be with a project that you have. It can have an impact on your mental health. It can also harm us by having little or no progress at all. Like we avoid or we fear the failure so much that we quit. This goes back to the episode on quiet quitting. I don't want to say we quit our kids, but we kind of quit our kids. Like we don't put ourselves out there. We're not vulnerable with them. We're not open to having a new relationship with them. Now, this may not apply to you, but this applies to so many of us. I know I dip my toe in perfectionism all the time. It can also harm us by straining our relationships. Like our unmet expectations of the relationship or our high standards of other people can harm that relationship. It strains it. Just think back to a person that was important to you in your life and how you didn't meet their expectations. It didn't feel very good. It could have been a teacher, it could have been a parent, it could have been anyone. It didn't feel very good. It's like you let them down. And when you let them down, you were a little embarrassed. And you didn't really want to hear their judgment. You didn't want to feel their judgment. Well, it's possible when we have those high expectations of in our relationships, the people that we're in the relationship with might feel that way. So I understand that striving for an A+, I mean, it feels good. It feels powerful to some of us. Like success feels great. And there's nothing wrong with all of us striving to be good people, striving for those A+ results until you make it mean that something is wrong with you if you don't get the A+. Until you make it mean that anything less than an A+ relationship, an A+ paper, an A+ job, well done, is nothing but a failure. When you think that a new relationship that doesn't look the same, but it's still a relationship with your kids, is a failure. That you somehow failed the relationship because it's not what you thought it would be. So yeah, success does feel good. And I want nothing but success for all of us, especially in our relationships. But sometimes striving for that A+ relationship can actually harm our relationship. So I want you to think about something for a moment. I want you to think about getting a B- as a mom of your adult kids. So what would that look like? Well, number one, you would stop procrastinating in having a relationship with your kids. You'd start celebrating those small wins that you have with your kids, those small conversations, those small moments. That's what a B- result looks like. You'd ease up on all the self-judgment that you have. You'd quit comparing yourself to the neighbor or to the other perfect family or to the in-law family. There'd be less criticism for what you said or didn't say or what you did or didn't do, and less criticism of what they said or didn't say or what they did or didn't do. You'd be enjoying the journey to do well, to be a better human being. You'd notice, hey, I made a mistake today. It's okay. I learned from that. I won't do it again tomorrow, but I might do it again next month, and I'll learn again. Having B-minus results in our relationship is better than not doing anything at all in our relationship. So I'm going to ask you to start focusing on the progress of your relationship, not the perfectionism of the relationship. Because getting something done, in the relationship is better than it being a perfect relationship. So let's talk about what a B-minus versus a A-plus looks like. So let's just say, you know, we're just going to throw an F in there while we're at it. So the F result would be giving up and not bothering with our kids. Or you could call that a D. You might have your reasons for doing that. You might have been down a path and you need to make that decision. So it's okay. But there's a reason why you're listening to this podcast. It's because you want something else. So let's just say, for the sake of this podcast, that giving up and not bothering with your kids at all, not bothering with the relationship, not even trying to be in relationship with them, you're just done. Let's just call it an F. Now let's go for A-plus results. What would A-plus look like? Becoming close again to your adult kids. Like having them come over, having them be one big happy family, getting those family photos taken that we've longed for. Like everyone is smiling. Everyone is having a great time. Your kids are verbalizing to you how special you are to them, how important you are. There are hugs. There's affection. There's love. Hey, that's an A+. But if you can't have that A+, maybe you could go for a B-. Let me tell you what a B- relationship looks like. It's reaching out. It's figuring out how to leave that door open. Leave that door open so that if they come back, we are the healthiest version of ourselves. We are there to accept them back with open arms. There's no need to sit down and rehash everything if they don't want to. A B- is connecting to your kids in a new and different way. No, it doesn't have to look like you thought it would look, with the photographs and the happy faces and the warm hugs and everybody is successful. Everybody has a great job. Everybody is speaking kindly to one another. We can connect with our kids in a different way, and we can just accept who they are and where they're at in life. We can have a relationship with them that's not perfect. We can have opposing views on politics. We can have opposing views on religion. And we can accept that they are where they're at and that we are where we are at. That is a B- relationship. It's not perfect, but it's a relationship. It's one to be happy with. It's the one to embrace. So in this upcoming week, I just want to give you a challenge. I want you to answer these four questions about the perfect family. Is the fear of having a perfect response to your kids stopping you from trying to connect with your kids? The next question is the fear of you getting it wrong stopping you from being invested in having a relationship with your kids? Does your perfectionism keep you from putting yourself out there with your children? And can you be a good parent and not be a perfect one? If you're enjoying this podcast and finding value in our discussions, I'd love to hear from you. Take a moment to leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice. Your feedback is incredibly valuable, and it helps other worthy moms just like us discover this podcast. Additionally, if you know
another mom that could benefit from our conversations, please share this podcast with her. Together we can create a supportive community of worthy moms. Join me next week for another empowering episode on the Midlife Worthy Moms podcast.